Public service announcement contains explicit language. The message is part of a campaign promoting active, safer sex practices.
There's never been such a thing as safe sex.
Risks like unplanned pregnancies, diseases, and broken hearts have always existed. But with the fatal, sexually transmitted disease AIDS, everyone has to be concerned about spreading the virus. There are lots of hot things other than fucking that people can do together, which are not risky. Dressed sex, talking dirty, kissing, showing off, wrestling, looking at or making your own pictures or videos.
There are still some gray areas, and oral sex is one of them.
Bathing and showering.
It's less risky than fucking without a condom, but not as safe as giving your partner a good hand job.
When you do fuck, whether with an old friend or a new one, give yourself the added security provided by a condom. Love and sex will always involve a certain amount of risk. Some of us wouldn't have it any other way.
But there's no sense taking chances with your life or the lives of those you care about. So play safer.
These ideas were brought to you by Utility Grade in cooperation with Safe Sex Corps.
Usted está escuchando CKLN FM 88.1 en Toronto.
88.1 CKLN.
After 3 short weeks, that music is already familiar to possibly millions of listeners in the city, Bob.
Under electronic conditions.
What made you choose that music? Is it...
I had nothing to do with it. My subgenius musical background man made it up on his own little synclavier.
But you've chosen it as an appropriate theme.
Yeah, he was going through some samples, and I wasn't responding to anything. All of a sudden he put that on, and somehow it struck a chord in my... my gonad and my thyroid gland and my pineal combined. Just at the appropriate airy, fairy, and...
But also like a James Bondish sound to it as well.
Yeah, secret
it?
Agent.
Secret,
what did you call me last week? James Bond, Solar Government James Bond?
Yeah. Well, it's got that sound to it, and I think it's an important bit of theme music, too. Set the tone.
Yeah, because our top song, the Bobby Phenomenon, that's too long to play every
which
week.
Which is being played all over the province and all over, well, through the true satellite.
It's going to be on the CFNY Talent album. Yeah.
But that's just just another accomplishment which we'll modestly shrug off.
Yes, we try to ignore it. They try to suck us into their vortex, that pink prison where a lot of pressure suffered, like, by who? Mike Jackson, Pierre Trudeau, Leonid Brezhnev, Monsieur Gorbachev, all these people suffer incredible psychic pressure, which they can't handle. Now, the irony of it is that I could take it, I could handle it, but I don't need the inconvenience, the little furry lint flicked out on my little face, you know what I mean? So what do we have on your...
On my plate.
Tongue.
It's July 21st, 1988, and...
Now it's the 20th. Oh, yeah, you keep thinking this is the beginning of the new day, Thursday. This has to be a Wednesday, Mike. Remember the song says Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's got to be Wednesday, so please don't think on Thursday.
I do think in terms of Wednesday. It does still feel like Wednesday to me.
It's still the 20th.
I think of those few short hours of sleep I'll get tonight when I call home. Well, I don't really have a lot to talk about, Bob.
Oh, I do, Mike.
I know you do, and I thought I'd really lead right into it.
Yeah, I think I should get into it. I've got some serious Bob knowledge.
Yeah, we fell behind, I felt, last week when we had our friend Kent down reading his poetry. And
fine Canadian poet.
Yeah, talking about his, asking you some very, very inquisitive, thought-provoking questions. But Kent's not here, and we sort of went off course and did something a little different last week. So this week, let's try to refocus what we have been talking about.
I think, what is the dominant American media phenomenon right now today?
Well, the presidential election, I guess specifically the Democratic nomination.
So I think I should talk about that.
Okay.
I think people need to understand the Jesse Jackson phenomenon.
Yeah, that's been a criticism, I suppose, of this segment of the show, is that we tend to focus often on American culture, American politics. But let's face it, you know.
Well, I am an American as well as a Canadian, and French, and a Russian. So
from purely an interest point of view, you know, what is more interesting? You look at Brian Mulroney on television. You look at and listen to I wanted to say Reggie Jackson.
Well, see, that's appropriate.
Jesse and the vibrancy and the level of excitement is much higher.
Well, it was pointed out in the '60s by a Holy Office. I won't say who. You might be able to understand and guess it. But the American environment is, and has been since World War II, the invisible world environment. And because it's invisible, people aren't aware of it. They're aware of their own particular national content, user's content. So they don't see the American environment as a world environment on the image level. And that's why when I talk from the solar government point of view and the Sinker Council 10 chairmanship position, I have to deal primarily with the planetary images, and they are hogged by the American image. But that's changing now, which I think I should lead in. Here's what it is. Bob knowledge, how to deal with Jesse. You got four worlds. You got the original industrial Western world, industrial capitalist world. We'll call that the first world. These terms apply up till 1945. The second... Is that you, Ian?
No, it's me.
Come on in. We got to just a second. Take a break. Come on, take a seat. Oh, we have a guest. And we'll continue with some Bob now. Just grab this one right here. So the first world is the industrial world of the West. Second world is a Russian socialism or bureaucracy. The third world is what's called the underdeveloped world. And since the telegraph environment of the 1850s, the first technology creating an electric environment, we call it the fourth world. Now, since 1945, these four worlds interpenetrate, all right? You see, the first and the second world, the industrial capitalist world and the Russian world, had set up the League of Nations and a secret world government in the 20s, all right? That merged as a functioning front. You see, the League of Nations didn't make it through World War II, but the United Nations was set up as the official front, the pseudo-world government, because the real activity was happening in the solar government level. Now, that was being set up by ancient oligarchs who had been sitting on the sides, and we would class them as part of the third world, the ancient feudal races and feudal oligarchs and the third world races, the people that have been blitzed with the American environment since World War II. So you have the third world, the top oligarchs, the nobility, moving into a solar government position with the first world and the second world. Their ground was the fourth world, which was the electric world, which went around all three previous worlds. So the solar government was set up in 1945. I then infiltrated that secret council of 10 since World War II and have been functioning on it for many years and have just recently become chairman of it. Now, how does this apply to Jesse Jackson? You have three candidates, George Bush, Michael Dukakis, and Jesse Jackson. George Bush represents the solar government candidate, all right? He represents the fourth world. That's why he really can't relate to any of the particular issues. And the other complementary pole of the solar government representative in the political field is Gorbachev. Now, Gorbachev represents the old inheritor of the Soviet bureaucracy, and Bush represents the inheritor of the industrial West, the first world. Those two worlds have merged into the solar government world. Now, their representative, Gorbachev and Bush, are proven to be from the solar government because they come out of intelligence agencies. Gorbachev, KGB man, Bush, CIA man. In other words, for those positions, you have to come out of the intelligence agencies. That's the situation now for the solar government representatives. Now, for the old industrial and Russian Rockefeller Bolshevik alliance, which is still a subsidiary bureaucracy of the solar government, it's operating on a world government level, all right? You have to have a man who comes out of the one of those establishments, especially in the American environment, but not of intelligence capabilities or background, and that's Dukakis. And then you have, for domestic consumption, national elections, all right? So you have the first world, the second world, the third world, and the solar government, electric world, all interpenetrating during this election. So you have Bush sitting there, going to win anyways, doesn't have to say anything, because he's going to represent in the White House the solar government. Dukakis will represent the multinational corporation world, the old first and second world together, operating a necessary bureaucratic connection and control point for the Jesse Jackson level, which is the national level. Now, Jesse Jackson has already won the national election, but it's a schizophrenic parallel operation. They had to run him to create that nostalgic sense of the tribal ritual of national excitement. So they ran Jackson to stir up the local third world conditions. Now, Canada and the United States, domestically, all the nations in the world are third world, all right? The multinationals are first and second world. So Jesse Jackson is the third world candidate, all right? So he won that. He beat out all the other contenders for the third world candidates, which was all the other nobodies we forgot about. They made the cover of major magazines and they disappear. So Jackson won. And that's why the pundits, the media pundits today, are wondering, where's the Duke? Where's Dukakis? I mean, all we've had is Jackson, you know, the lead up to his speech and what happened last week, whether he's going to make a deal with Dukakis. All these things revolve around Jackson. Now, it was over last night, the domestic election. Jackson made a speech. No, nobody would listen to Dukakis when he speaks tonight or when he's nominated. I guess he speaks tomorrow night. But his speech will not be listened to because everybody subconsciously or consciously, if they're a subgenius, knows that he represents the programmed candidate, the guy, the bland guy who can't have a point of view because he represents international forces, all right? But neither Jackson or Dukakis have a chance against Bush because Bush is going to win because it's already pre-programmed. Now, who is Bush running against, really?
It's Gary Hart.
Oh, no, no, don't bring Gary in yet. Gary comes later.
Bob Dobbs.
No, he's running against Gorbachev. See, Gorbachev won the solar government election on popular earthly terms last December when he came, took over Washington, and the polls suggested that he would be elected president. Now, the reason Gorbachev has a more charismatic image on the solar government level than Bush is that because they won the Battle of the Harvest Moon, the Russian element, and kicked out the old international multinational corporation forces, he's sitting in a very favorable position on the Secret Council of Ten under me. All right. So Gorbachev is the new phenomenon. Now, what is the key to his charisma? He relates on all four world levels. He's a Jesse Jackson for the local Russians. All right. He's a member of the old Rockefeller Bolshevik alliance, Christian faction in Russia. In other words, he's on the Dukakis level. And on the Bush level, he's representing the KGB and intelligence networks, which set up the solar government since 1945. Now, he merges all three of those levels, plus the solar government, good vibe coming from my endorsement. I don't endorse Bush because he represents the pink faction. So you have Bush fragmented as a solar government candidate between him, Dukakis, and Jackson, right? America is going into captivity, so is Canada, into this free trade North American containment policy of a pink prison. That will be a fragmented entity, whereas Gorbachev operates a very strong position in the solar government. He can operate on all three levels, out of Russia as his base, and be a functioning member of the new Russian branch of the solar government empire. So you see how it works? His charisma Bush can't be like Jackson, but Gorbachev is like Jackson to his people, right? He's a third world man, all right? But he's also a bland guy on another level on the Dukakis multinational point. And then he's also an exploit. So I think you have a perfect synopsis of the three dominating images today, Bush, Gorbachev, and Jackson in the media. This is only a phenomenon up till this point over the last, say, 8 months, right? We'd say this is an 8-10 month image dominance principle. All as a front guard protective movement for my election, which happened in March. So I think if you understand how these four worlds interpenetrate, then you can understand the local pink journalists, the pink commentators, and their confusions and their propped up dialogues, propped up debates, all revolve around the fact that a national level, that is the only level language is available. On the see, Bush and Dukakis can't operate on a linguistic inspiring level like Dukakis. And he's a nostalgic figure. He hoiks up for people that point in the past when speech mattered. Speech does not matter anymore, unless it's me on under electric conditions. I'm the only one who can talk appropriately now without being involved in those three worlds as a particular subdivision. You know what I mean? So Jackson mobilizes the English language. All right? Jesse Jackson's job, just like Churchill's job in World War II, was to mobilize the English language. He represents the archetype of the English language. Gorbachev represents the archetype of Russian culture, which is coming back now that they've kicked the Bolsheviks out. They're bringing back Dostoevsky and the Christian Russian Orthodox Church culture. It's all coming back. And so he can play the Jesse Jackson, mobilize the Russian language level, as well as be a solo government and first and second world representative. And I don't think it ever could be said more concise and in such a beautiful symmetrical pattern than I've just laid out.
I hope people were listening and maybe even take it. Well, where does...
Well, we know you will hasten to agree with yourself about that.
Bob, that Gary Hart is gaining some momentum. So going back to Gary, where does he fit into
this? Yeah, where does Gary fit into this?
Yes.
Gary was a dummy front for my perception. I mean, I proposed that Gary would become president, but that was set up as a probe to have you think out those possibilities, because that was done at a time when Hart no way was going to get back in.
It was a decoy.
Yeah, it was a point to make you aware of the language of my content and the language of my commentary and not get stuck in it. So I had Bob, when he makes a mistake, he makes millions, right? And this, on a commentary level, appears to be a mistake. But it also was a subliminal direction to those people surveillance my output, those surveilling my output, that I knew that Gary Hart had been done away with.
So you threw us a rubber bone and we took it.
You guys took it, but so did the RCMP and the CIA took it too, because they knew that I was aware of what they were doing to him. And he has been dismissed rather crudely and put aside. I'm not going to go into how it was done to him or whether the Gary Hart that's commenting on TV during this convention is the original Gary Hart. I would say he isn't. I know he isn't the original Gary Hart, but I'm not going to tell you what the role of that double is right now.
Could you address what, in your speculation, Jesse Jackson, what his role will be in the Dukakis
government? His role is to run the domestic campaign. See, Dukakis is running on the international first and second world level, and he's up against the solar government because the Rockefellers...
Well, no, I'm speaking more in terms of cabinet position type things in the event that Dukakis should win.
I don't think he'll give Jackson a cabinet position, but I think that Jackson will be the real president. He'll be the one running around mobilizing the American environment, the American language.
Yeah.
Dukakis will be never available if he becomes president, which is very unlikely. I don't think we need to worry about Jackson's position. Jackson is the president of the United States as a nation. That traditional archetypal nostalgic role of inspiring through speech and sovereign national culture, that's what he does. That's his role, and he will always do that.
And will never win the presidency of the United States?
No, that could happen in 1992, depending on how rapid my forces mobilize under the imminent battle between Gorbachev and Bush.
Mm.
So Jackson is there forever. He's got a job and a role for a long time. Where he sits will indicate, you know, what's happening, how close the... Jackson could be an important role for a new appropriate American figure to match the Gorbachev phenomenon. In other words, to merge the three forces, a representative of the solar government, represented the multinationals, Dukakis' position, and the national figure. So you've got parallel elections, and that's what's so funny. Remember your question, Mike. What's so funny is you've got these several campaigns. The Bush, who doesn't do anything, to Dukakis, who can't say anything. He can't mobilize national language, but he just sort of reminds people of a friendly guy in American, say, post-World War II friendly images. Mm-hmm. And Jackson is the is a hot medium. Yeah.
Well, it's my question. I don't recall. Did I mention this on the air, or did you and I just talk about this personally? The comment, I forget who the person was. It was someone way up in the CIA when asked whether George Bush had been an agent in the CIA. Did I tell you this?
Yeah, that was in the newspaper last week.
Yeah. Did we mention this on the air?
I don't think so, yeah.
Was it worth...
Well, just that it came out in Nation magazine that he suppressed information for Hoover around the Kennedy assassination.
No, okay, well, I read about that.
You mean the royal family thing?
No. Let me tell you, it's a very brief anecdote. The story was, someone in the CIA was asked, well, was George Bush an agent for the CIA prior to being, of course, head of the CIA?
Yeah.
And this person's answer was, well, we don't like to let people know whether or not anyone was ever an agent in the CIA at any given time.
Ah, yes.
But I can honestly tell you that George Bush was very much involved with the CIA when he was head of the CIA.
That's sort of
breathtaking news that helps us along, you know?
Yeah, because you're talking on a level where the contradictions and policies of the four worlds cannot be applied on a domestic national level. So it appears contradictory. You know what I mean? In other words, they say something which has no content, but that doesn't matter. The fact that they are saying it is what's so important, and how they say it. That tells you more than what they said.
Right. Well, too, can we address the issue that George Bush last night was addressing Dukakis and Jackson and all their get-tough talk about drugs in America, and he said, are they going to join me on the front lines when I propose that death penalty for drug pushers? Now, would he then propose that he and his cronies, with their Iran gate connections, be the first guys to go on the chopping block?
Well, see, the contradictions are that he is not the person speaking. I mean,
quite right.
As a representative of the faction of the solo government, like they propped up last week around the CIA commentaries, that they're trying to say he's related to the royal families, which is the oligarchy thing. Yeah. They had to say about that about Reagan in 1980. So what George says is filtered down through the four worlds.
Yeah.
And he knows that what he says he does not have to be held accountable for, okay, because it's beyond a speech level.
Automated presidential surrogate.
Yeah, the superlative nobody.
You were listening to the electrified voice of J.R. Bob Dobbs. And
let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a little breather.
And play some competition, the old nostalgic competition of Reverend Stan.
Yeah, why we're actually here. At
to say take a break implies we were doing something strenuous.
It's funny, on the way in, the security person said, well, you fellows work late. And Bob said, this isn't work, this is play.
We're getting off work.
That's right. Yes, and my name is Mike. And we didn't really introduce the show formally, did we? This is our...
We still call this the
Subgenius. And
the Church of the Subgenius.
And we're joined also by Ian, who
my
hasn't
former
been around
bodyguard
for a long time. Yeah.
He wears my bodyguard, but he doesn't need to be my bodyguard since I got elected, because I control all aspects of the terrorist networks now.
Right? And things are really safe. Okay, let's go to the Church of the Subgenius.
This is where I'm staying our competition.
Bob is a basketball. Bob is a rugby ball.
Be a member of your church. I want to give all I got. I want to love Bob. I want to love Bob.
I was in a room just the other day in Dallas.
Well, I did benefit from it, of course. But so did a whole bunch of old Dallas boys. But
the one thing is for sure, that if you let Bob do your thinking for you, you won't have to worry about nothing come July 4th, 1998. When Bob comes down in his giant mothership, looking kind of like a big pillbox, Bob will be landing, and you can climb right in, because he's going to know. He's going to have your name on a computer printout. Yes, sir, dear friends, and that CRT tube available right there at his fingertips. He can call your name up, and he'll know exactly what you've done for him. He'll know exactly how much donations you've taken in. He'll know exactly how much money you've given to the church.
Gideon. And he said, yea, the head of the prophet, Dobbs,
shall ne'er bleed. The bleeding head. The nicest decapitated injured golfer in the World Cup class I know. It's the bleeding head.
Well, Spooky Music will be back in just a minute. And I want to turn this around and, you know, I don't know. Okay, here come the first Texans.
A corpse can't sue you. And more problems have been caused by people shooting attackers when they simply wound them. So get police training, buy your gun, shoot to kill, and see you next time.
This Apollo flight grows out. $6 million. To escape Earth's gravity, it had to achieve a velocity of 6 miles per second. En route time to the moon was 66 hours.
The arrows are poisoned.
It's always ugly. It's like rotting fruit. It's like meat that is spoiled. It's like a roof of leaks. A foundation that is rotten.
Poisoned?
They are friendly people and are by far more advanced spiritually and physically than the people of this planet. At the present time, they are observing us. They wish to help us, to help ourselves, to attain a higher understanding of life and its meaning.
What do you think about Bob?
Who's Bob?
All right, well, what do you think about the UFOs which are presently in formation to blitz the Earth and put particle beams through the head of everyone that doesn't know Bob?
You're out of your mind.
The spacecraft entered the moon's gravitational field in the sixth segment of the flight. The gravity of the moon is 1/6 of that on Earth. The orbit around the moon was flown 66 miles above the moon's surface at 6,000 miles an hour.
At 10 after 9, the beeping began. Went down to the reserve fence, watched through binoculars, and we did see this thing. It's about the size of the moon with a small crescent at the bottom that's well lit like starlight. The top is a dark gray mass. It came down through the trees, whatever it was.
Have you ever heard of one? Have you ever been in one? Have you ever seen one? Have you by television ever seen one? If you haven't, it's the greatest sight this side of heaven.
People from this Earth have already seen some of their spacecraft, which they call flying saucers, and other flying objects, which they cannot describe. These objects are real and are spacecraft.
The astronauts return to Earth on the sixth day of the week.
No, wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. I love that area. And I...
Hello? Yes? Who is this?
Sickness and death, and a headache that lasts all year. That's what any deity means to me. Ding dong, the deity is dead. Which old god? The stupid bomb. And the smart bomb. And the fork-tongued bomb. And the straight deal bomb. Superstitions that have saddled mankind for centuries, keeping them low in their ignorance and high in their expectations.
Keep on, yo.
up from the court case. Yes, the bloody head of Arnold Palmer dictates what?
And you can tell that it's
the aimless, lifeless body of Arnold Palmer's
I'm
does.
I'm leaving Arnold Palmer.
But no, we shall find him.
The devil is
Arnold Palmer.
Oh, I'll kiss pussy. Chuba oka arabra masna arega. Yes? Anteaters. Black mud squirming. Disgust. Eshmener. Ear rudum bim. Rast. Das.
There are people in them, and many of them have already landed on this earth.
Well, a short but satisfying installment of the Church of the Subgenius. Tape number 1,470,000B.
Isn't that much to say about it?
No, as the listener who just called up said, low fidelity.
Does he have any questions?
No questions, no. Just lots of hiss.
All right, let's get into secret files. Time's running out.
Actually, can I just make a point?
Yeah.
That was... someone who works in a restaurant, and I was put on hold for a minute.
Yeah.
He's one of those phones that, you know, cuts into a radio.
Yeah.
So I was hearing the tape over the telephone via radio. Confused. Anyways, let's wrap things up, Bob.
Well, yeah, I got a short file thing, eh?
Well, like it's 12:29.
Yeah, okay, short file reading.
Okay, I've got lots of music to get to tonight, so...
Yeah, secret file, Mike. Mike's requesting a short file. Flash me some light there, Mike.
Light? What do you want?
Just a little bit. Yeah, so I can get it.
One light bulb here at CKLM.
All right. The topic is a meeting in 1983 of the Secret Council 10 before I was chairman. And one of the members, I think it was Prince Charles, asked me about this particular museum phenomenon. He had noted, as many scholars of Egyptology had, that Egyptian statues showed priests and pharaohs holding a rod in each hand. Museums had no information on the nature and purpose of the rods. Well, Prince Charles asked me... what did I make of this? And this is what the files of 1983 said, that I said. Bob indicated that these were associated with what was known as the Vril Stick, that object that was given to Hitler by subterranean forces to help him control the world. That was his motive, anyways. Bob indicated that this is presently used by entities within the subterranean areas of the earth. He indicated that the Vril Stick used by those Egyptians is that which also was used by Moses. He indicated that this essentially is the magician's wand. He indicated that it is associated with magnetism, the north pole of the wand being at the top and the south pole at the bottom. He indicated that essentially it is also associated with that which may be called the psionics or radionics devices, whereby thought is amplified through this object, this wand, this Vril Stick. He indicated that it therefore amplified the thought of the magician, priest, or pharaoh, so that when pointed in a particular direction, the energies would carry the thought of the operator with greater force. Bob indicated that the magnetism is that which assisted in operating the forces within the stick, and those forces within the stick were made from gems in this hollowed-out stick, and sometimes there were metal matter was incorporated inside the stick. Bob indicated that there were a variety of these real sticks, having different purposes and different technologies involved in their making. He indicated that some of these emitted rays, others emitted lights, others emitted vibrations, some amplified thoughts, and the more advanced sticks did all of these. He indicated that some of these sticks could be used for sending ultrasound, others could be used for sending vibrations, which assisted in levitating objects. That's how they moved and built the pyramids. And he indicated that others could be used for purposes of healing, and that some could be used for telepathy and communication. Many of these sticks were miniature crystal devices, as used in Atlantis, whereby the crystals amplified thought and energy and transmitted such. Bob indicated that the more advanced sticks often could accomplish several purposes. There was a follow-up question from Prince Charles' associate, which I've sort of indicated already in the answer. He said, "You mean these sticks moved, levitated those blocks that made the pyramids?" I indicated that, yes, the mind and vibration and chance is that which levitated the stones. The sticks served as tools for amplifying these energies. Then another question, "Have all these various Vril sticks been destroyed during the past history of the planet, or are there still some around to be found?" And Bob, meaning me, indicated in 1983, this file, this secret file, now you're hearing here for the first time in CKLM, I indicated that there are still some to be located, that these real sticks are under the Great Pyramid and between the Pyramid and the Sphinx. There are also those who live in the subterranean areas in the Hollow Earth. They use them, and many of these still use them. You know, that's the end. I think we can go, Mike.
caught me off guard.
I ain't going to use up your music time, Mike.
Oh, Bob, yeah, don't, you know,
yeah,
rub
don't,
it in.
Yeah, there's the rub.
Okay, so you're not going to be back for another 2 weeks?
I'm back in 2 weeks, yeah.
And then will there be some sort of regularity with your scheduling?
Yeah, after that, there'll be a regularity. Ball hockey's over. Come on out to the Bolton Arena next Wednesday night. Catch Bob and his excess buddies.
Well, now there's an exciting... I'm sure people will take you up on that, Bob.
Bill Bolton Arena, Wednesday night around, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Where is Bill Bolton Arena?
Oh, Palmerston and DuPont area.
Okay.
Palmerston and Dukakis.
So watch what Gary Hart does under this dilemma.
Okay.
So here we go.
Let's leave with our theme music. You've been listening to The Church of the Subgenius, installment number...
22.
And the voice of Bob, the voice of Ian, and the voice of Mike, and I'll be back with music until 2 o'clock. And sounds, right, Bob?
Yeah, we'll be here listening and enjoying with Mike, because slack is everywhere tonight. It's a Wednesday. Great.
And international politics, listen to Diaspora Music.
I hope we never see Star Wars, the ones that they're building those rockets for. In my mind, I see a world that is free, a world where we'll all live in peace.
Diaspora Music is made in the West, but not of the West. Join me, Norman Otis Richmond, every Thursday at 8 p.m. for 2 hours of music and interviews on CKLN 88.1.
We have to have the type of understanding of Africa and the type of understanding of our people here.
Get it straight, Afrikaans, get it straight. Your mom gets it straight, Foley is great. You better get it straight, Afrikaans, get it straight. All their moms get it straight, Foley is great.
Thursday, July 21st, LIP Promotions, along with CHRY, CIUT, and 88.1 CKLN presents Andrew Tosh.
Poverty is a crime. Tell me now, don't make me say, look, I'll take my life. Poverty is a crime. The son of poor blacks.
Son of the late reggae star, Andrew Tosh plays with Peter Tosh's band in his first Toronto appearance. Opening will be Errol Blackwood. Tickets are $12.50 in advance at Bass and all LIP outlets.
I'm the original man. Straight from creation, I'm the original man.
Andrew Tosh, Thursday, July 21st at the Copa. Presented by LIP Promotions, along with CHRY, CIUT, and 88.1 CKLN.
You know something?
The trip to the Middle East by U.S. Secretary of State George Shultz, Scott McCloud.
Thank you.
to the... Well, they... There's something in life besides money and work. I feel sorry for you.
They have the experience and the ability to do the job right the first time.
Sunday. He recently admitted that there's an important reason for all of his role-playing and image-switching in those early days.
So, that's one example. That's a good example. That's about all they had to eat.
I want you to do is to learn. Or even to worship. Was... I want you to reproduce.
What did you kill?
On reproduction.
What did you kill?
Married in the Lord, joined as one.
What did you kill?
Known as your baby.
What did you kill?
Really have a long ways to go in growing up.
What did you kill?
It is perhaps one of the most mysterious and exciting areas of life.